Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg, teachers and utility workers in Puerto Rico, are going to join us to talk about the labor movement after Hurricane Maria and Governor Rossello's plans to privatize the public power company and the schools. We are extremely pleased to have with us Fredison Martinez Estevez, Vice President of the Electrical Workers Union, and Mercedes Martinez Padilla, President of the Teachers Federation of Puerto Rico. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Can you tell us, Fredison Martinez Estevez, what actually is the state of the power grid and the restoration of power on the island to begin with?
Here in Puerto Rico, we are facing a major challenge in restoring the power grid on our island. It was affected in about 85% in all the stages of the electricity, especially in transmission and distribution, poles, lines, substations, you know, all the components of the electric grid were affected. The restoration process has been a slow-paced one, because the problem with the materials, the problem with the equipment, the lack of workers with a job, and the slowness in attending this process by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the government of Puerto Rico. Both, they make an agreement to use the Corps of Engineers to bring materials and workers to Puerto Rico, and they have been lacking the agility and speed to help us restore the power on the island. And that it can be seen that more than 4 months after Maria passed over us, we have close to 35-40% of the people of Puerto Rico without power. That's pretty hard on the people. The people are desperate, because the governor told the people that on December the 15th, that 95% of Puerto Rico will be energized. That didn't happen, and the people, you know, started in desperation to protest, to be, desperate because of the situation, because they were promised something that wasn't real. And we think that the governor has been playing with this major issue, making a promises that can't be made. And because of that, you know, a lot of factors. We have more than 500,000 customers without power, and that goes to more than 1 million people on the island without power more than 4 months after Maria passed over us.
And Mercedes, so talk about what's happening with the education system, with the middle schools, which you are involved in, and then we will continue on what's actually especially happening with the unions, the workers, and where the issue of privatization fits into the, we would suggest, devastation of the workforce, of the labor movement, and for providing services to the island. Mercedes?
Terms of education. The secretary, Julia Kelleher, was appointed by the governor November last year on what she wants to do on public education, which is close down and shut down more than 300 schools, privatize schools, deny the children the right to a quality education as the Constitution guarantees. So she has been straightforward since the first day. She already shut down 166 schools by May. During the hurricane and after the hurricane, she shut down 50 schools, additional to the ones that she had already closed. And she had to revoke more than half because of the community organization and the protest from the community. On May, she was trying to shut down approximately 300 schools. The number came down to 166, but it still was too much. So we are at a point where public education is at risk of its mere existence, and the Teachers Federation is organizing the communities to fight back. And an example of that is the example that you just mentioned about the school that we were involved in today, which is Marcelino Canino Junior High, where students, parents, and teachers had a one-day strike today. They were rallying in front of the school because the secretary wants to remove an entire team of teachers from that school. The school was flooded during the hurricane more than 6 feet, and it was precisely the teachers that reconditioned the schools so it will be able to reopen. And this is the way of the department and the secretary of saying thanks to the teachers. They were not there for the teachers or for our schools to recondition them. It was all done by the teachers and the parents. And now, more than 130 days after the hurricane, she decides she's going to start destroying their schools by eliminating teams of teachers. So they were on strike today, and they will continue the strike tomorrow, requesting the secretary to hear the community and revoke the decision of eliminating these teachers from the school.
Freddie, some bouncing off what Mercedes was saying about the governor basically tearing apart the schools, to what extent is the problems with the power system dependent upon the disaster that happened with Maria, and to what extent has it to do with decisions by the power company, probably in consultation with the governor, in terms of how they respond to it? And how does it affect your workers?
The governor of Puerto Rico, you know, well, mostly the governor, has been acting in a kind of way that they were just like waiting for the federal government to make a move, and then they will make theirs. They were feeling like, oh, this is all the fault of FEMA. This is all the fault of U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And in some way, they had some reason in their arguments. But also, the government was very slow in requesting aid, including the PREPA, Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority, that we work for. They have a mutual aid agreement with the American Public Power Association. They didn't use that as the has previously happened, and that is normal in the states to do so. But they didn't implement that. They just rely on the Corps of Engineers to do the restoration work, and it has been a very slow-paced one. The government just announced a week ago that he was going to privatize PREPA. In our union, we feel that this is a lack of sensibility by the governor, just taking advantage of the people of Puerto Rico because they're in a desperate need of power. And he just goes like, well, this is the moment to do so because the people are, you know, angry, they're mad, they're sad, they're desperate for power. So he goes like, okay, I'm going to privatize. This is going to solve all the problems. This is going to lower the cost to the rates to the people of Puerto Rico. And, you know, he showed no evidence whatsoever of what he said. He just stated that as a solution. He has no legislation made about that. He makes that in the air. We feel that he's been so insensible to the people of Puerto Rico to announce that in the middle of this crisis where we have more than 500,000 customers without service, and that by decades, the different administrations, including this one, has been giving the workers no materials to work, no equipment, no vehicles. They just are making their way so that the people say, well, PREPA does not serve us well anymore. The electricity costs are too high. We don't need them. They go like making people angry every day against us by not giving the workers the means to put this corporation in the place that it was once. And that happened from some years that they have been working that way. And by Maria passing, it just showed the reality of what is happening over here. It just didn't happen from one day to another. It has been a work by the government and his allies for some years now, trying to show a different face of the workers, of the company, not providing us with the tools, and including we are here in our union, we had some workers from Mexico who were ready to come here, not charging anything, just their stay here in the island, and they said no, you know, and they later signed the contract with Whitefish, all that. Things that happened with rates more than $400 an hour and such. And we have, from decades, we have saying that to the people of Puerto Rico, that we have denounced that, and that because the electric power is a human right, not a merchandise, we feel that the government has been has shown no sensibility to the people of Puerto Rico, and to the people who have lost energy, who has lost people because they have died in this process, you know, of diseases, or because not having the power on their houses. And we feel that, you know, no sensibility whatsoever from the government. He said that the company is no longer workable, but that is so suspicious because there are a lot of companies interested in buying or to intervene in the company, and it shows that, you know, the company really has great potential, but, you know, it has to be reformed. It has to be that the politicians did not have the power that they have in the company now. It can be made. In the U.S., there are more than 2,000 public power companies over there, and they serve well the people. So why don't PREPA can do the same? You know, we feel that PREPA can do that, can improve the job, the work that the company does, but we have to be given the means to do so, the tools, the personnel, the vehicles, the workers, foremost the faith in the workers, because we have been here for many years, and we are staying here, you know, to improve our company, to make and to give the people of Puerto Rico the best that we can give to them, because we are staying here. We have a lot of people from the States working here, and we are very grateful for that.
Just to continue this discussion, but to bring Mercedes Martinez Padilla into it as well, the issue of privatization as a political and theoretical issue, we have been cultivated in this country to continuously really harangue public sector unions, public sector workers, and say, the private sector is always more efficient, etc. Mercedes and then Fredison, what does it politically really mean to privatize the school system? What effect will it have on the jobs of those people, the educators, the utility workers? What will it mean for, indeed, the provision of services and the cost of those provision of services? And is this part of a broader plan on the island? Mercedes?
Well, first we have to remember that privatization agenda is a corporate capitalist neoliberal agenda that's been tried to be implemented in our country, and it has been implemented in the States as of education for many years now. In Puerto Rico, we still have no charter schools because of the struggle that the communities have led together with the Teachers Federation throughout the years and other unions that are in favor of public education. Privatizing education would mean that the 1% ruling class of the U.S. is going to get richer by the minute and wealthier by the minute, because public funds will go into their pockets and out of our children's school system. The children in a charter school, we have read enough about this and talked to our comrades in the U.S. that have been working in charter schools, that know the system, studies that have been made by Stanford University, that they stay the same. They will deny special education children their right to enroll in a school. A lot of them have admissions through the lottery system, and you can live in front of the school, but if you're not in the lottery, you don't get in. They will try to eliminate low-income students from going to the school because they are blaming those students for the test scores that are used to evaluate the achievement of the schools, the children end up paying for their meals. They can pay for an admission fee. Teachers will be fired. Teachers will have no tenure. Teachers will have no benefits. Teachers will lose all of the rights that they've constructed and had so far, only to make profit for private companies that will use the taxpayers' money to profit themselves, because education for them is a business. We saw what happened in New Orleans after Katrina, and we know that the Secretary of Education in Puerto Rico is trying to implement the New Orleans scheme here in Puerto Rico. She tried to do it during the hurricane. Communities will not allow her to do so, because something different from Katrina is that during Katrina, the government evacuated 1.8 million people, so they were not there to defend their schools because they were evacuated, but we are here. We have not gone anywhere, and we will be here when they come for our schools. We will be here to defend our schools because our children need public schools. Public schools are excellent schools. We have excellent teachers. We have excellent students. We know the schools that we want. We know the schools that our children deserve. Public schools can be if they just listen to the proposals that the teachers and the parents have made throughout the years.
Fredison, maybe you can respond to that, because we understand that this is just the beginning, what Governor Rossello announced. There is the issue of privatizing the water and a whole complement of services.
The government has been trying for years to privatize education. They privatized for some time the water company, and that, you know, they had three companies privatizing the Puerto Rico Water Resources Authority, and the government has to took it back because the service was too bad. They didn't lower costs. They didn't include in the costs were raised. The results were nothing close to what they promised. Now that we have also the oversight board over here, and they're strong promoters.
That's what's called the junta?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The emergency control financial board, PROMESA.
Yeah, PROMESA. And they are strong promoters of privatization. And the government has two talks, because they said that, okay, we don't want PROMESA here. We don't want them. We want them out of the island. But the government do like slaves to them, you know. They said they make what the junta wants them to do. They want to privatize? Okay, we're going to privatize. The privatization of PREPA or any other public service, just we have so many evidence here in Puerto Rico to the people that the results are for the workers, lesser rights. They made a work reform to reduce the workers' rights. So, you know, like making the way to privatization, the public companies or the public services that the government offers may seem to the people that want to privatize like more appetizing to them, because, you know, okay, we have a lot of people here, but their rights are not close to what they were, because we being unionized, we fight for our rights, and we have some rights that we have fight for them for a long time. They just make laws to make those rights, like in the 1940s, 1950, you know, we went back in time in the labor movement in Puerto Rico. By that way that the governor is guiding Puerto Rico, we are sure that we are going to have a community and the workers with less rights, lower wages here, and that the bridge between the higher class and the lower class will be so high that it will be like, you know, we're going to have here like a vacational spot for some millionaires, and we feel like that we did not belong here. We live in our island, but we feel like we don't belong here. And the politics that the government, that the governor is making in Puerto Rico are so bad that great deal of people are just leaving the island daily. After Maria, they estimate that more than 100,000 people have left Puerto Rico the vast majority of those, that people will not return here because there are no jobs. The government is taking a stand against the workers. It is not attractive anymore to work in the government, and they're making that not just in the electric service, but also in the other public services. And we feel, we are sure, that they just want to start with the electric company to see what the people react to that. And after that, if they make their way, privatization of PREPA, then it will say, okay, let's privatize all the other, because there are a lot of technocrats.
Mercedes, I know that when this kind of situation happened in New Orleans after Katrina, not only did they privatize the education, but they fired all of the teachers and brought in new teachers from outside of New Orleans. Do you fear that the same kind of situation will happen there, in addition to the impact on the students, the teachers fear for their very jobs and their pensions?
Most definitely. The Secretary of Education just announced with the governor the new fiscal plan that has been sent to be approved by the Oversight Fiscal Board and the House of Representatives and the Senate. And in that fiscal plan, they are telling the country that they are going to lay off 7,000 teachers, mainly teachers that have no tenure, teachers without a contract. So definitely the government is trying to reduce the amount of teachers by a very high number. So the answer will be yes. And besides firing those teachers, they will try to privatize our schools, saying that the schools that remain open don't work. We already know the agenda. And once they go and say that they're going to try to privatize the schools that remain open and at the same time privatize the working force within that school, so 7,000 will get laid off, and the other ones will lose their tenure and all of their rights. So obviously we have a long way to go to fight against all this together as a working class with all of the unions of our country that are willing to fight back, like Camry from the Electrical Corporation, like Freddie Sun, and all the workers in our country. We are being under attack, and it's going to be solidarity amongst workers, solidarity with our people that will guide us through this.
They keep making complaint about the inefficiencies of PREPA and the millions of dollars in debt. The holders of the utility's $9 billion debt are actually American hedge fund and mutual funds. So I wonder if you can talk about whether or not, as part of the collective struggle against privatization, there is a role that kind of coincides with a general fight against the austerity budget and plans implemented as a result of the islands essentially being under the control of PROMESA.
Yeah, that's for sure. The way of work of the hedge funds, for example, in the period between 2008 and 2012, the debt of PREPA doubled from $4 billion to $9 billion in just that period. There were a lot of bonds emissions, and most of those were bought by the hedge funds. And we have today the result of the neoliberal positions of the government. We are paying that today with maybe the loss of one of the biggest assets in Puerto Rico being PREPA. In the public utility sectors, it is the number one corporation in customers and in the top 10 in generation, in revenues, in infrastructure. It is a corporation that it has a lot of value. It was devaluated by the politics of the government, but we have a great asset and we have to keep it in our hands. We have to reform PREPA, that's for sure. It can work the way that it's been working. You know, it has to be reformed, but in the hands of the people. The people has a right to have power in their houses, and we feel that we can do that. In the electric company, we can do that in education. And as unionized workers, we started today to do so. We started meetings. we started to receive ideas from other unions in Puerto Rico to defend the public corporation that is PREPA. And by defending PREPA, we are starting to make a coalition of all the workers here in Puerto Rico to defend their jobs, to defend the public service, because it is that. It is a service, and it has to be offered with no means of earning money by it. It is just a service, and the only guarantee that it can keep that way is to be in the hands of the government, but it has to be in a good government that responds to the people and not just to politics of promesa and such as that.
And, of course, Puerto Rico was ripped apart by Hurricane Maria, but it was also ripped apart by the colonialist process that has controlled it for years by the austerity work and budget of PROMESA. And Mercedes Martinez Padilla, we're going to give you the last word. What do we do to support our sisters and brothers? And again, we have been speaking with Fredison Martinez Estevez, Vice President of the Irrigation and Electrical Workers Union, and Mercedes Martinez Padilla, President of the Teachers Federation of Puerto Rico, about privatization of their unions. But it looks like all the work on the island and public sector jobs. So what do we do to support our sisters and brothers? Mercedes?
You could help us in so many ways. First, to denounce what's happening in our country, to make our voice your voice and our demands your demands, which will be we need the abolition of the PROMESA Act, which is a dictatorship in our country where seven people are ruling austerity measures against the Puerto Rican people. Because of these austerity measures, we need that law to be abolished. We need the debt to be eliminated. 100 years of exploitation to the Puerto Rican people has been more than enough to pay that illegal $72 billion debt, which has been implemented on us with all these measures. We need the Jones Act to be abolished. You can help us calling your congressman, tweeting the governor of Puerto Rico, tweeting the president of the House of Representatives and the Senate by being our voice in the states, because it's not a struggle in defense of public education itself or in defense of energy. Is the people of Puerto Rico are fighting for their life against austerity measures. Teachers, mainly women, are being affected in a huge manner, being deprived of the right to live, because all of these austerity measures are just so much. And we are getting organized. Today we were in a meeting with electrical workers and with many other unions that are willing to work and join forces. So it's just one working class in Puerto Rico. It's just one working class in the U.S. The 1% has the wealth, but we have the strength if we unite. So we just ask you to be our voice in the states.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.